Today, Palestinian Authority President and Chair of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, Mahmoud Abbas, confirmed that he will move forward with a plan to seek full membership and recognition at the United Nations. He spoke in Ramallah today through an interpreter.
We are going to the United Nations to ask the world to shoulder its responsibilities, carrying the olive branch with us, and we hope they don't take it off from our hands. The same olive branch that the late President Yasser Arafat carried more than 30 years ago.
Audio from CNN. Abbas is expected to submit a formal proposal on Monday at the UN General Assembly in New York. He is then scheduled to address the UN in a speech on September 23rd. The move has set off a diplomatic scramble, with the U.S. pressuring the Palestinians to back off from the plan. According to Haaretz, Israel's foreign ministry summoned five European Union countries on Thursday to criticize them for their support of the effort. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is scheduled to address the UN next Friday. Israel is strongly opposed, but Netanyahu has said that he is open to discussing an upgrade of Palestinian status in the UN as long as it does not recognize Palestine as a state. The recognition of a state by the UN could have wide implications, including reframing the illegal settlements in the West Bank, changing the status of Palestinian refugees in the diaspora, and possibly allowing Palestine to bring charges against Israel in the International Criminal Court of Justice. For more, we go to Phyllis Bennis. She's a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., and an expert on the UN. Welcome to FSRN.
Great to be with you.
The PLO has indicated a couple options in this effort. One is to seek recognition for full member status at the UN Security Council, where the U.S. has pledged to veto the move. Another is to seek status as a non-member state at the UN General Assembly, and that's where there is widespread support. What's the difference?
The real difference is that if they achieved full membership in the United Nations, they'd be able to vote and introduce their own resolutions in the Security Council or the General Assembly. If they are recognized as a non-member state, which is essentially the same status the Vatican has, they could attend meetings, as they do now. They could, through others, the Arab group and other countries, introduce resolutions, as they do now. The one difference in that situation would be, because they would be recognized as a state, albeit a non-member of the UN, they would have a better chance of being able to join treaty bodies such as the International Criminal Court. That's the one very important advantage that comes from raising their current status, which is that of what's the funny term is that they are an observer entity rather than an observer state.
Right, and as of their status right now, it's an observer mission right now. The state is not in that title right now.
That's right. The Palestine Liberation Organization is an observer of the United Nations. The word Palestine has been used in the last several years at the UN, but it's very clearly written in the UN rules, the UN acceptance of this, that, quote, Palestine in the UN context means the PLO. It doesn't mean a Palestinian state, and crucially, it also doesn't mean the Palestinian Authority, which operates only in the West Bank and Gaza. It means the PLO, which speaks for all Palestinians, supposedly, all around the world, including the refugees.
I want to go back for a moment to that issue of the International Criminal Court. If this does get approved, or if it plays out where Palestinians are recognized and state is in there, how could that affect the setting the agenda at the ICC?
Well, that could be a very important advance here. Israel, like the United States, is not a member of the International Criminal Court. Both the U.S. and Israel are afraid that their soldiers, who have been accused widely by the UN and other agencies, human rights organizations of all kinds, of carrying out war crimes, in many cases crimes against humanity. Now, the way the ICC works, the International Criminal Court, if a country is not a member, say Israel, its nationals can only be brought up to the court in a couple of very narrow circumstances. One is if the crime they're alleged to have occurred has happened on the territory of a state that is a member of the ICC. For the Palestinians, what it means is that if they are a state and they sign the Rome Treaty to join the International Criminal Court, it means that war crimes committed by Israel on Palestinian territory, because this state is now a member of the ICC, could be brought up in a request. The Palestinians could make that request to the prosecutor of the ICC to hold those Israeli perpetrators accountable. And that's probably, in my view, the most important benefit that comes out of this potential move at the UN.
Leaders of Hamas in Gaza have come out this week critical of the move. So in practical terms, if this were to go through, either in the Security Council, which seems very unlikely, or the General Assembly, who would be calling the shots or who would be setting the agenda for the Palestinian people?
Well, none of this is easy. Certainly this will not pass in the Security Council. The U.S. has made clear that it will veto, and the political realities in this country are such that there's very little room to maneuver on that, I think, in the White House. The representation there will be led by Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas, who is both, this is why it gets tricky, he is both the president of the Palestinian Authority, which of course does not have a presence at the UN legally, and the chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization, which does have the representation at the UN. What makes it so complicated is that at the UN he's often called Mr. President, which is his title as president of the Palestinian Authority, not Mr. Chairman, referencing the PLO. So all of it gets very complicated and very confusing.
And Phyllis Benes, how does this fit into the broader Middle East peace process, which is now stalled? Could it change any of the fundamental issues, such as the status of Jerusalem or West Bank settlements or the border issues? Does that affect the peace process?
Mm-hmm. On the ground, this is not going to change anything. The peace process, so-called, the U.S.-led process, which has everything to do with process and virtually nothing to do with peace, has been more than moribund. It's been dead for years. So I think that what this does, why this is important, is that by going to the UN, the Palestinians are saying two very important things. One is the U.S. doesn't get to call the shots any longer, that the U.S.-controlled peace process is not the only game in town. That's number one. Number two is they're saying, we're coming back to the United Nations, where in the view of me and others at the UN, many people have believed that that's where it belongs anyway, that this is a global issue that should be under the jurisdiction of the United Nations, not the United States. So for that reason, this whole initiative, I think, has a significance that goes beyond the fact that it is certainly not going to have any immediate impact on the ground.
Well, stay tuned next week for when world leaders meet in New York to continue the UN General Assembly meeting. Phyllis Benes is the author of Understanding the Palestinian-Israeli Conflict, a primer, and she's a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.